Okay, welcome back YouTube. Lee here from FPL Family with another FPLX video. Back by popular demand, Ross, FPL Raptor from the Twitter community. If you guys haven't checked out the video that Ross and I recorded last week where we talked about the managerial styles, the transformative and the adaptive styles of the Premier League managers that we saw last season, then I would encourage you to go back into the channel and have a look at that video. But today, we're going to be talking about the three new boys. We're going to be talking about Bielsa, Bilic, and of course, Scotty Parker, new to the Premier League. Certainly two of them very new to the Premier League. Bilic got a little bit of pedigree in history, but the two new boys to the Premier League, Scott Parker and Bielsa. Let's touch on those guys first and foremost. And we've got to start. We've got to start, haven't we? With Marco Bielsa. I mean, goodness me, what a character this guy is. Ross, where do we start with Bielsa? How would you categorise his leadership style? Is he got his own category, this guy?
I mean, so doing the research on this man was so much fun. I read on him for maybe 4 or 5 hours.
It's great, mate.
He's just incredible. I mean, if you watched the video last week, you will know about transformational leaderships and charismatic leaderships and all of these affiliative leaderships, and he just encompasses everything. I have such...
Oh, so you wouldn't put him in one particular box? He's ticks a lot of boxes.
He's got everything. Wow. He's got that transformational. He knows how to deal with players one-on-one. He strikes fear into them by making them perform in those big games. So he's got what Mourinho has. He's got the charismatic style of Pep. I've got really high hopes for him in the Premier League. And if they manage to hang on to him, I can only imagine that Leeds will stay in the Premier for a long time. With him at the helm. So
I noticed in your notes you've got he's often called El Loco.
El Loco, yeah.
He's an obsessive version of Klopp, which I think is a fantastic way to describe the guy. Yeah, he's just on the right side of mental, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, so there's been instances where he's lost a game and he's locked himself in his room for 3 days. I mean, he takes this game to heart and so seriously. He said in one of his interviews, is it bad that I want the earth to eat me up every time I lose? So, I mean, he takes everything to heart and he's got all of the attributes that Klopp has with these individualized relationships, but he takes it to that next level. The game is everything for him. He talks about the romance of the game and he's very passionate and loyal and driven by culture. And I can't see him moving on for a while because I think he owes Leeds everything and I think he loves the club. And if I was a Leeds fan right now, I'd be very excited for the upcoming season.
He looks great, doesn't he? He looks great. And I think on last week's video, we were talking about the fact that Klopp likes to foster this feeling of, you know, a family, not just between him and his coaching staff and the players, but that kind of goes out to the fans as well and to the player, you know, not just the players, but the people at the club. You know, all the players know the names of the people in the canteen. They know the names of the players that clean the dressing rooms and things like that. And I feel like, without knowing too much about it, again, I've not got a hell of a lot of authority on this subject. Don't know a lot about Bielsa, but from the bits that I have seen, I feel like he's a little bit like that, isn't he? I remember reading one story where I think he put some of his own money into a raffle or something. And there was, you know, and everybody at the club could take part. And it was, you know, the prizes for this raffle were pretty serious. He put a lot of his own money into
I've got the,
raffle.
Yeah, I've got it here. So before Christmas, he asked the club to go and buy with his own money, a phone, a laptop, a widescreen TV and a car. He then organised a raffle for the day-to-day staff at the training ground and gave it all away. A TV for the canteen workers, a Volkswagen Polo worth $11,000 for the kit man.
What a guy.
And then the rest of the prizes out. So with his own money, he set that up around Christmas time because he saw the value of everyone at the club. And it is like Klopp with making sure that all of the players know all of the names of the staff at Melwood. Bielsa creates this atmosphere where they are one big family. And obviously that then extends to the fans. And that's why the fans are so... When you speak to the Leeds fans on Twitter, everyone loves this man. And you can see, even as a Man United fan, I can't help but have a bit of a soft spot for him. So,
yeah. I think I do as well, not least because of... pretty much everybody will watching this video will remember the Spygate stuff, right? Where Bielsa and his spies were kind of looking in on some of the other clubs in the Championship in their training grounds. I mean, well, I hate to ask you the sort of questions to what sort of leadership style does that encompass? Because it doesn't. It just feels like it's a really bonkers thing that he did. But try and if you can relate that to some management psychology somewhere.
So it actually links to, he was talking about it, it's his mental psychology, so mental health. So he was saying it's a form of anxiety and it's the unknown that he doesn't like. So he, so the reason he delivered that 70 minute, for those of you that don't know about Spygate, by the way, I encourage you to go onto Amazon Prime's YouTube channel and watch about it. Essentially he asked some of his staff to spy on several clubs at the Championship. So just look through the fences at their training sessions and stuff like that. And he was found out. And in response, he delivered a 70-minute interview where he talked about everything that he knew about Derby without even knowing anything about the training ground. And what he was essentially showing was that he doesn't have people spying to help him tactically. It's just to ease that sense of worry. So it goes back to that kind of obsessive nature, but I think he's reined it in now, and I think he understands when to use that and when to allow it to go. But yeah, it's that unknown. He likes it's immaculate preparation, even more than Guardiola to some extent. All of the analysts in the Championship and the Premier League say that he is the very best at preparing for a match. So that immaculate preparation has to happen. And he sees that spy gate, that spying on the team, as that final step to making sure that they are ready for any kind of unknown quantity for that game. So it's just perfect preparation, and it probably wasn't the correct thing to do, but you've got to admire that he's trying to do everything that he can.
You absolutely do. You absolutely do. I love him. I remember when the story came out, I wasn't mad or surprised. And if I'm Frank Lampard, who I think was the Derby County manager at the time, yeah, of course you're going to be upset about that. But it sort of made me fall in love with Bielsa a little bit. So I'm dead keen to see what he's like in the Premier League next season. But what does it mean from an FPL perspective then? What is this, you know, this maniacal focus on preparation and a little bit of each of the management styles? How's that going to translate into FPL points for us?
So he has a very well-organized squad, and I try to separate psychology and tactics because I think they're two very different things. But
yeah,
the fact that he is so transformational and so obsessive with his preparation, and that he nails the psychological side of the game, means that tactically Leeds are a very smart outfit. And one of the reasons he was called El Loco is because when they're in, obviously, attack and playing against a team with two up front, he plays the 3-3-1-3 formation, which is a formation that no one ever plays.
3-3-1-3. Nice.
3-3-1-3. And then
that's making Wilder's overlapping centre-backs look normal.
Yeah, so, I mean, he has this tactical astuteness that is linked to the psychology that means that I truly believe that Leeds assets will be worth investing in. Maybe not from the start, although we've seen a lot of sides with Ayling and Dallas. The two attacking fullbacks, but I don't see them being a side that are overturned very often by big sides. I don't think you'll see those kind of 7-8-0 victories that you see against some newly promoted sides. And I think out of the three promoted sides, purely because of Bielsa, I think they are worth investing in. And after doing this research, I was immediately looking at getting at least one into my game week one squad. So he's called the high priest of the high press. So similar to, it's brilliant. He's got so many cool nicknames. So similar to Jurgen Klopp's Gegenpressing, he has his high priest of the high press, but his team is so well organised and they all believe in his goal. They all believe in him as a manager. And I've got a quote from him which says, "Failure is the complete opposite. It forms us. It makes us more solid. It brings us closer convictions. It makes us more coherent." So he believes that failure helps them. And so I don't think they'll go on a run of awful games, because he thinks that if they lose a game, they can learn and bounce back. And I've got high hopes. As a promoted team, I think they could do similar to what Sheffield United did last season.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're going to be maybe not, like you say, a force to be reckoned with at the start, but I think they'll slowly find their feet and Bielsa will get a feel for what the Premier League's all about. Like you say, just the right side of madness, as is our next manager, Slaven Bilic, who, whenever I think of Bilic, I think of, you know, some seasons in the Premier League, reasonably successful with West Ham. I think a couple of mid-table finishes up. I think they dipped to sort of 17th, 18th by the time he, you know, eventually left the club. But as much as I think about him as a manager, I do remember Bilic as a pundit. I can't remember which tournament it was, maybe a World Cup, maybe a European Championships, when he was on either the BBC or ITV, and he was a pundit and doing a lot of analysis post-game and pre-game. Very, very charismatic, very, opinionated, you know, didn't sit on the fence ever, very passionate about what he was saying about the football. What do we think of Bilic? Is he cut from the Bielsa mould, or is he a different kind of manager altogether?
He is. He has the passion that Bielsa carries, and Bilic has never hid his passion. In some of the punditry comments that he made, the honesty and the candidness of some of his comments, I mean, during his punditry has been outrageous, really. He's never shy to swear, to speak up against the journalist. Yeah. I mean, he's happy to say truly what he means at all times. And I think that he has certain aspects, again, if you watch the video from last week, he's quite charismatic, like Pep. He sort of says, like, "Believe in me, I'm your charismatic leader." The only thing that I think he struggles with, and I think it was why he started to drop off with West Ham at the end, is he's quite an erratic figure. And when the team isn't playing well, I don't think that he captures the right points of personality, leadership and management. I feel like he starts to go off the deep end and you see he starts to sweat and get nervous. He's quite an erratic guy. And I think psychologically as a player, you need your manager to be a consistent figure that you can refer to. It's almost like a father figure. You return to that manager and you want them to lead you. Where do I go now? We've lost a match. Where should we go? And when your manager's erratic and not consistent and you're not sure where they're at psychologically, because he can be all over the place, I think that can be difficult long-term to get behind him. But when they're in form and when he's at his most passionate, I think they could go on a few good streaks next season, West Brom. So they could be one to look out for, but perhaps not from the start of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at some of their... I was looking at putting my first draft of my FPL teams again. I was looking at who from West Brom would I have? And I kind of looked at it, and to be honest with you, there wasn't a lot in there. In fact, it felt a bit like an FPL from yesteryear, a bit of sort of a graveyard of Hal Robson-Kanus and players like that. So I don't think I'm going to be necessarily investing in them. Of course, if we see Bilic take them to the next level and adapt well to the Premier League, then some of their players could come to the fore. But I must admit, my fear with West Brom is that they don't start well, maybe. Yeah. And if they start finding themselves in the lower end of the table, then that erratic nature of Bilic that you were talking about, that sort of panic mode a little bit in terms of, you know, the players will be looking for, you know, we're struggling here in a big league. We struggle to make the step up. How are we going to drag ourselves out of that? And they're going to be looking for, you know, Klopp stroke Pep style leadership, or maybe even Chris Wilder style, you know, set the example leadership from Slaven Bilic. And I think you're right. I'm not sure we're going to get that from him. And that might just lead them into a bit of a death spiral, which may eventually lead them going back to the Championship. Not to put a downer on it, West Brom fans. I hope you have a fantastic season. But I'm looking at some of their FPL assets and thinking, not for me. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, well, on Twitter today, I saw that West Brom have the highest percentage owned player from West Brom is the lowest percentage owned key player from each of the clubs. So they don't have any highly owned assets. So I think their most highly owned asset is on about 5 or 6%. I think it might be Leko as fodder, but no one is going towards those West Brom assets. You've got Mateus Pereira is probably the closest you'll have, but they just don't have any key assets. And I think when you're looking at, like you say, a leader to inspire them through those tough fixtures, I don't know that Bilic is the man. He did well. He finished 7th and 11th in his two full seasons with West Ham. So he can do it. I just don't know that I'd be willing to bet on that from the start. So it'd be a wait and see for me for FPL.
Yeah, I think both he and Bielsa have got the potential to be great value in terms of the media, in terms of Twitter and in terms of what they say post and pre-match and all the rest of it. But in terms of the way that their teams, I think, will perform in the Premier League and how their FPL assets will perform, I think we're going to see a lot. I think we're going to see a big difference here. I think Leeds and Bielsa, I think, you know, the likes of Dallas and Ayling and maybe even Bamford, if he can get his act together, not the first time he's played in the Premier League. He's got to be thinking this is do or die for him now as a sort of still relatively young player. But Bilic and West Brom, I think they could be in for a tough time. The interesting one for me is Fulham, though. So Fulham came up not automatically, obviously had to go through the playoffs, had that incredible Joe Bryan free kick from way downtown, didn't they? And we saw the manager, Scott Parker, when that Joe Bryan free kick went in against Brentford in the playoff final, really passionate, really giving it the fist bumps and the, you know, really in the same way that kind of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer does a bit kind of like one of the boys. Do you see him in that sort of mould, or how do you see his management style kind of playing out Scotty Parker over the course of the season?
So I was quite surprised so I see Scotty Parker as someone that might be struggling in the Premier League as a manager, but looking at some of the interviews with his players and looking at what he did across that Championship season, I think he's being underestimated completely. I think from a psychological view, standpoint, at least, not looking at the talent of the players, from a psychological standpoint, he's a winner. We could see that when he played on the pitch. He always gave 300%. He was one of those guys that when he was on the pitch, he wanted to win. And you could
he
see
was never the best, was he? He's never the fastest or the most technical, but he did put in a shift in a sort of, goodness me, I was about to compare him to like a Mark Noble then or something. I couldn't think of a better comparison, but he's in that sort of mold, wasn't he? Never one for effort, right?
Yeah, exactly. So similar to the Mark Noble, like never the most talented, but would never be dropped out of the team when he was at his best. So I think he removed the losing mentality from Fulham. Fulham were a team of losers when they were relegated. There was no there was no drive. There was from the top to the bottom to the fans, there was no desire to win. And they just accepted they would be relegated pretty quickly. I think it was 5 or 6 games away from the end of the season. They was already gone. So, I mean, Parker said that 15 months ago, they was the team that lost most weeks just before they was promoted to the Prem. And he said there was a deep-rooted issue at the club. He recognised from the very top to the fans, the players, that they needed to install this winning mentality. And I think that's what he's done. I think he is similar to Frank in what he does. I don't think he's as adaptive and I don't think he's quite as honest. I think he's probably a step back from Frank, but I could see in the next 2 years, if he can keep Fulham in the Premier League, he could be a fantastic manager. And I mean, even so, Brian, after the 2 goals, he said to, I think it was on BBC Radio 5, he had an interview and he discusses how good Scott Parker's motivational talking is. And this isn't something that we really see on the pitch. He's quite a calm figure on the side. He's very humble. But apparently he's motivational talking in the dressing room and one-on-one is brilliant. And he says when he talks, everyone respects it. He's been there and done it. It's good for a manager to, you know, speaking from personal experience. So he not only inspires the players, but they really respect him. And I think the fact that Fulham came up with probably not the best team in the world, I could see them shocking a few people and staying up. But they really have to get their act together and try and sign a couple of players because I don't know that the talent is there, but definitely the manager is.
Yeah, I think you're right there. He's a bit of a sort of Frank Lampard light, isn't he? On the last video, guys, again, if you haven't seen the video from last week where we talked about, you know, Klopp and Pep and Frank and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, we waxed lyrical, didn't we, frankly, about Frank Lampard and how we think he's got the potential to be a very transformative leader in the way that Klopp does. And he's displaying a lot of the traits that Klopp is employing at Liverpool. I think you're right. I don't think Parker's there. I don't think he's on the Lampard level right now, but certainly got the potential to have a good season with Fulham. And like you say, you know, could surprise a few people and stay up. I've noticed in your notes you put a realistic and safe manager. What do you mean by kind of realistic and safe?
I think he often comments on the fact that they have to be realistic with this is the first time in the Prem, like their first season back in the Prem. And he comments on the fact that we can't expect to match the big teams. It's not defeatist, but it's realistic. I think he's a realist. Yeah. And I think we will see in some of the big games, I think Bielsa will come and attack teams. I think even when they're defensively strong, I don't think he'll be afraid of the big teams. I feel like Scott Parker is probably more of a realist. And I think it means that you can't expect results from Fulham apart from in the smaller games. I don't think he's going to turn up to Man United and try and attack them. So I think from an FPL perspective, I don't think we should expect a lot of goals. That being said, Mitrovic could be fantastic value at 6 mil. 6.5. He could be fantastic value. So I would hold off for the time being. I think we need to see how he adapts to the Premier League. I think we need to see how Fulham can adapt, considering that they've probably got the weakest side out of the newly promoted teams. But yeah, from an FPL perspective, he's not inspirational and creative enough for me to be investing in their assets early on. Mitrovic would be the only one that would tempt me just due to his price point.
Yeah, okay. So just to touch on that point you made there. So if we've got, you know, big hitters, if we've got the Salahs and the De Bruyne's and the Fernandes's, which all of us will have some of those big hitting midfielders, because that feels like where a lot of our budget's going into the new season. And Aubameyang, of course, now a midfielder, which is still a funny one to me, but listen, that's where he is. If those guys were coming up against, if you were going to captain one of those big hitters, would you prefer then to captain them against, you know, a bit more of a gung-ho Bielsa Leeds, or would you prefer to see them captained against maybe a bit more of a restrained Scotty Parker Fulham? I think from what you're saying, it feels like you might want to captain them a bit more against Leeds.
I mean, it will be interesting to see, because Bielsa will, he won't be frightened of the big teams, but he does have a defensively strong unit. So
they're better players, aren't they, than what Fulham?
Yeah, they're better players. Yeah. And whilst he will attack the big teams, I don't think he'll be naive enough. I mean, he is towards the end of his career, Bielsa. He's been there and he's done it, and he knows not to just go gung-ho against some of the bigger teams. Yeah. So I'd still probably target Fulham, but I don't think that Fulham should be underestimated from the start. And I don't think, as we did target Bournemouth at the end of last season, I don't think it should be target Fulham at the start of the year until we see what they're like. Because I think Scott Parker is kind of, he's got this winning mentality and he's sort of instigated a winning mentality at the club and the fans. I think they could surprise a few. They might not, but I don't think it's target Fulham from the start until we know what they're going to play like.
All right, then give us your view then. Which of the three clubs is going to finish highest? I think we're going Leeds, aren't we? But put your neck on the block then. Who's staying up and who's going down out of those three, if any? So
I think Bielsa will get a mid-table finish. I really do. I think okay. I don't think he'll push towards Europa, but I think maybe between kind of 9th and 12th.
Wow, okay.
I think one of the clubs will go down, but I don't think both will. I think there are some clubs in the Prem that are weaker than Fulham and West Brom. It will just be how Bilic can adapt to the Prem with a new club. I think he needs to stop making the mistakes that he made last time. I think he needs to be less erratic. I think he needs to learn to improve the team when they're losing rather than just go on a good run of form. And I'm really excited to see Scott Parker because I think everyone's basically relegated Fulham already. And so I think he's got a lot to prove and he's not got a lot of pressure. So that could help. I'd say Fulham and West Brom will be on the cuff of relegation, but I can't say whether both will be at this stage, but I think Bielsa will have a great season.
Very good. All right. Well, I, for one, I'm looking forward to the Frank Lampard Bielsa Spygate face-off. Yeah. I hope we get that fixture early on in the season. That's going to be very, very entertaining. Listen, Ross, absolute delight having you back on the channel. Thank you very much. Again, for you guys that haven't seen the video that Ross and I did last week, where we talked about all of the Premier League managers that we know and love, right? The Peps and the Klopps and the Nuno Espirito Santo, who you highly rate, Ross. You did say that Nuno Espirito Santo, a big favourite of yours. So check out the video from last week, guys, if you want to find out why Ross loves Nuno Espirito Santo so much. Hit that subscribe button if you enjoyed the video. Leave us a like, of course, before you go. Ross, before we go, just remind the guys where they can find you, what your Twitter handle is and all that sort of good stuff.
Yep, so active over on Twitter. So it's at @FPL_Raptor. Just all psychological discussions of the game, whether it's manager psychology or the psychology of FPL decisions. So come and get involved and look out for more content soon.
Good stuff. No, really enjoying your content, mate. The threads on Twitter, fantastic. Offering something a bit different to the norm in the FPL community. So love what you're doing, mate. Keep it up. Listen, thank you for joining us. Good luck with the rest of your tinkering, guys, between now and the end of the season. Sam and I will be back Sunday, 8:30, usual slot for an FPL family live stream. The season is fast approaching, guys. September the 12th, we're going to be kicking off. So get those final bits of tinkering done and get that game week 1 team locked in. Until next time, see you soon.